Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Exodus chapter number 3, Exodus chapter number 3. And if you were at the revival, you know Brother Chad touched here. He preached a lot on different subjects, but he touched this area of Scripture, and the Lord just really grabbed hold of me, and I had to preach this morning. He just kind of jumped out of the Scripture at me, and I believe it'll be where he'd have us be today. As you turn to Exodus chapter 3, I'll just say this. I forgot to mention a couple folks that were just kind of text to me and didn't get on the prayer list. I want you to pray for Miss Messersmith, not feeling too well this morning. And also, I wanted to have you pray, if you would, for Brother Samuel Talavera's mom, and we need to get her on the cancer list. He had reached out to me and talked about just where she was. So I want to pray for those this morning. And tonight, I want to just kind of let you know, we'll give you an update on Brother Morgan. Brother Morgan has been out, been praying for him. He's been in Kenya representing our Bible college and meeting there and kind of helping in a college graduation there. But all the way there, he's been with a couple of our graduates, some from a while ago. He went and visited Brother Ajabang, pastor, and he was with Steve Marilla. Many of you from more recent know Brother Steve Marilla and got to go in both of those places. And he's been kind of sending me emails back with how many are saved in the meetings as they made their way to the college graduation. And so just be in prayer for his trip there. We had promised that we'd go, and Brother Scotty, the missionary there is a part of Brother Scotty's group and helps ministries, and so we're just getting to kind of touch base with a lot of different folks over there and really get to do some work and see people saved. So we'll give you an update on how many souls have been saved tonight, so be back tonight for that, but be in prayer for Brother Morgan as he kind of finishes up that trip before he comes back. This morning, Exodus chapter number 3. And we will pray, but I want to give you the title of the message for the tape room. The title is Set Your Feet. Set Your Feet. Now, I also considered, and I don't know if this is a better title, it was just longer, so I didn't stick with it. I mean, Set Your Feet. But the other one was Kick Your Shoes Off and Stay a While. Amen. But I thought maybe I'd go with Set Your Feet. Amen. And so let's pray together and we'll dive into the message. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, as your people, Lord. We've come and humbled ourselves before you before this moment, Lord. And we just ask you to do a work that we can't do. I ask for the Holy Spirit of God to do the work of drawing a soul that is nearest hell to be saved this morning. I pray, God, that you'd use your word and let me just be your messenger boy to deliver your message to your people this morning. I pray that, Lord, we would continue in our revival, the time that we've been set aside to be with you, Lord, today, that we continue in revival, personal revival. God, I pray for those that need to be saved, that they would be saved. And I pray for your people, Lord, that you'd help us to set our feet and not be moved, Lord. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Exodus chapter 3, many of you realize that Moses is a Hebrew or a Jew, and you know his history, but I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows exactly Moses' history, especially in the day and age that we live in, where schools have not taught it for so long, and not everybody grew up in Sunday school. So just let me tell you that Moses is a figure in the Bible. God is going to use him greatly, but this is his crossroad moment of his life with the Lord. He has been born and should have died, but his mom protected him and watched over him when Pharaoh was trying to limit the number of Hebrews that were born males that could in turn someday fight against him. He commanded all those babies to be thrown in the Nile and die. And so his mother protected him. So he's one of the only surviving babies of his generation that was male. And his mom ultimately came to a place where she did put him in the Nile River. But before putting him in the Nile River, she put him in a beautiful thing that they kind of looked like an ark. Amen. The ark is a picture of salvation, and the same thing was for Moses, a great picture of something that saved him. Even though he went in the same river all the other little boys went into, there was something prepared for him, and he was in it, and it protected him, and he sailed on down, and he came to Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter snatches the bull out of the bulrushes there and has that baby pulled out, and she makes that baby her own. He's protected, not killed because of who he is, but he's made a part of the family. That, folks, I'm just telling you, I'm not preaching that this morning. That is a beautiful picture of salvation, where we come and we float down the river and again saved and then welcomed into the family. Amen. And we just see how beautiful a picture that is. He's raised with all the finest of education, and he gets through that whole life, the finest of everything, what we would call the silver spoon put in his mouth on a consistent basis. And he gets to an age where he could really fully accept his position as a part of Pharaoh's family, but he refused. And that's what one of the things Brother Chad preached on, but he came to a place where he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, so that he could identify with the people of God and who he really was. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, Moses, I don't believe at that moment knew God. I don't believe he walked with God, but God had groomed a man in that household that had an inborn desire to lead and help his people. If you think that the desires that are born inside of you and the abilities and the gifts that God has given you today, saved or lost, are just yours and you came up with them, you should have another thing coming along. One day you'll wake up and you'll see, just like Moses did, that there is a creator God who made us just how we are, and he put those desires and those things inside of us. Now, sometimes we use them not for God. Sometimes we use them for ourselves. Sometimes we use them for profit. But if we yield ourselves to God, and all along, I'll just tell you this, I believe we live in a day and age where we don't need less people surrendering to the ministry, we need more. We don't need less people that work and give and go for God than we have had, we need more. We live in a day and age where God is still calling, people just ain't listening. They've set their feet in the world instead of setting their feet in the Lord. Now you say, preacher, you just gave us the message. That's all right, I'm still going to preach it. Amen? Because I know most of us, if I don't tee it up for you, sometimes you'll miss all of it. Amen? For all of us, if we don't give some history, we'll miss it, won't we? And we come to a place where now Moses has, in his own power, rejected. When he rejected that, he went out and he saw some folks that was a Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he slew the Egyptian. And again, folks, I don't know if you understand this, he buried him and he went about his business. He didn't just run. We think sometimes when we're taught the story and we don't go back and read the Bible, that he just ran off into the wilderness because this was a uncalculated or unthought sin or act that Moses did. Moses killed the Egyptian and buried him and went back about his business. It wasn't until later that two Hebrews were having a dispute. And when he's talking to them, those two Hebrews, when he corrects them, hey, you shouldn't be fighting each other. We're God's people. We got the same. Listen, we don't need to fight against each other. We got a greater enemy to fight. You know what they said? Oh, are you going to murder us too? And when he knew that, he realized, hey, my sin ain't so far. It ain't buried too deep, is it? Somebody saw it and was telling everyone. And so he fled, because if they know it, it ain't going to be long before everybody knows it. You know, I believe this. Sometimes we all can come into church and we can agree that, hey, we've got a great enemy. But if you're not careful, you'll make enemies of the people that are inside this room. You'll want to pitch a fit against everybody and pull up and drag up all their old history every time you get a chance. Hey, folks, God's people ought to be different than the world. Moses had a right spirit about, hey, we've got a common enemy, and we do. His name, he's the devil. And he wants everybody to go to hell. But if we're not careful, we'll be those Hebrews that get fighting with each other. And we'll run people off. We won't, listen, they may be lost and need a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not worried about them. All we're worried about is infighting with each other. Hey, folks, you know, when we talk about revival always happens personally, because usually it comes when we start seeing there's a problem in whose life? Our own. Not looking for everybody else's problem, but looking for what's going on. What's God doing with me? See, Moses, he started his whole thing. Instead of getting right with God himself, he wanted to run God's people. And he had been trained to lead people. So now he goes on the backside of the desert and God gives him another lesson. He gets married and he becomes a shepherd. Because see, he thought leading people was going to be easy. But folks, you know, we're more like sheep than we like to talk about. You know, sheep have to be led. They can't be driven like cattle or anything else. And they got to have a personal relationship with the leader. They got to choose to follow him. They got to decide that he's leading in the right direction and choose to turn in and follow. And Moses had to learn that on the backside of the desert, leading sheep and coming to this place. And while he's leading sheep, and while he spent 40 years out there learning how to be a servant to his father-in-law, to his family, to the sheep, he comes full circle. And all of a sudden, he looks over and there's a burning bush. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, you know that God leads us through places. And sometimes we think, hey, I'm middle-aged. I'm 20-some years old. I'm 40. I'm 50. Hey, can I just tell you, I went to Bible college with somebody that was 60. Do you know this guy named Dr. Gentry? He went to Bible college with me, too. He had had a full career and retired. But instead of just retiring, what did he do? He retreaded the tire. He regrooved that thing and put it in the service of the king instead of the service of the world. There's too many of us, too many times, that believe that God's done with us and that there's something that God can't do. Moses has spent, I mean, what we would think was the majority of his life here at, you know, 40 years in the desert, 40 years in Egypt. 80. Now God's saying, hey, now I can use you. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, wherever you're at today, you might have just got to the point where God put enough in you to use you. And you know what? What I've noticed, and I'll just say this, talking about setting our feet, we ought to come to the place, we may just have gotten to the place where we really got enough put in us that God could really use us. If we just settle in with him, if we just kick off our feet and stay somewhere. Look at the scripture with me this morning, and I want you to read, and I'm going to preach here, but I want you to get this. He says in verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, out of the midst of the burning bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I want you to see some interesting things, but for every one of us, we don't really set our feet spiritually until we see the supernatural. We live in a natural world and we want natural answers and we want to see things and everything should calculate on a natural calculator. But it's not until we've gone far enough, just like Moses, 80-some years old, facing the time where, can God really use me? Or maybe God's done with me. Maybe God just got you to a place where you could see the supernatural and realize that he's real. Moses, he knows about God. It's not until God says, hey, buddy, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then he feared. He just knew that what was happening in that bush. See, it doesn't say he saw the angel of the Lord. But the angel of the Lord was what was inside the bush. Because bushes naturally catch on fire and are consumed. But when God is inside of something, it can burn with his fire and it is not consumed. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, some of you, Moses, just like you, had gone through his fiery trials in his life. And over again, he burned the bridges with Egypt. He burned the bridges with different things in his life because he didn't know how to burn without being consumed. But then he saw the supernatural happen. And some of you, you can mark the day in your life that you saw the supernatural. This preacher standing before you grew up in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. My mom and dad sacrificed to send me to Christian school, but it wasn't until I hit 15 years of age and that the supernatural, I was taught about it. I had heard about the burning bush. I had seen things in Scripture that I could not explain, but it never had been real to me. Until a moment that I realized I would burn in hell without Jesus. And I, listen, against all odds and against everything that I thought everybody was going to be against me and call me everything under the sun because I'd grown up in church, but I wasn't sure I was saved. And I just came to a place where I said, I can't burn. I've got to be saved. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I don't care listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I finally came to a place where I decided I was going to put off anything that I felt like was protecting me. And I ran to God. Folks, it's not until we see. Moses, first, I want you to see Moses could see. Look, he turned aside to see what God was doing. Do you know most people that come to this place and get saved, we witness to them, but most of them usually cannot. They have to go through the fire, and it's the fire when some things are consumed in their life, and they've hit bottom, and the fire has burned through their life. Sometimes it's not till God's people that are saved, but trying to live a natural life outside of the supernatural God that they serve. It's not until God burns some things inside their lives before they decide that they'll set their feet and burn for him. He's got to burn some things up and burn bridges so you won't turn back away from him. Folks, you know, most of us are not really looking for the revival fires to burn in us until some other things have been burned up in our life and we have to turn and see the supernatural God and say, God, I don't know how you can, but only you can. Folks, we are in a country that calls itself Christian. That looks every time we have a crazy, terrible thing happen, we look to God to save us, but then we look back to the natural things of man as blessings. Do you know that just because money and our economy and everything's going well, that ain't always God's blessing? Sometimes God sets fire to the natural things in our life to get our spiritual attention. And for us, if you could spend a week hearing revival messages preached and your soul this morning doesn't burn to do more, to grow closer, to set your feet on a firm foundation, folks, I'm just going to tell you, God didn't get your attention through all that, I'd be careful. I'd be watching for what is going to be set afire in your life. I'm not trying to be a prophet this morning. I am giving the warning and letting you know that God desperately wants to meet with you. I want you to see, second of all, Moses heard God's call. Do you know that God usually gets our attention so that we're looking his direction or seeing whether we're even interested? He ain't going to waste his breath on you. He gave you his word. His word calls. He's given you every opportunity to be saved and given you every witness that he could. But sometimes he'll finally wait till you see the fire in your life to turn aside. And when he realizes that he has your attention, that's when you'll hear God's voice. I've had so many people this week, after we had what I preached Sunday night, they came and said, it's been a long time since I've heard God's voice. It's been a long time since I've heard God speak to me personally from his word. It's been a long time since I've heard God really convict me. Folks, do you know that if you can hear the preaching of God's word and you don't fall under conviction? Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. And you know you ain't doing what the preacher was just preaching about. I would check up and see if I was saved. Because the Holy Spirit of God inside of you will squeeze your ticker, or at least the seat of your emotions. He will get on top of your conscience and ride it like a horse to try to get you to run to him and to get things right and to come home and be able to hear from God. There ought to be a desire in every Christian's heart to hear God speak, to know that he hears. Most Christians in America today, at least so-called, their prayer life is this. In destruction or in an election cycle, God give us what we want. God give me what we need. God protect us from this. And instead of getting God in your life and setting your feet solely and wholly on a holy ground of being close to him, you just want him to be spiritual shoes that you can slip on and slip off whenever you like. What has happened to our generation of people? We're so lazy we won't even tie our shoes anymore. I see advertised on TV, slip-ins, and slip them off. It's how people want religion, and they want everything else. They do not. Listen, I'm wearing a pair of slip-ons today. Look at this. You know why the preacher wears these? Because you don't want me to sing another verse in church. When I get up there to the baptismal tank, I kick these things halfway across the room and jump into a pair of waders. I know you think I'm just standing back there, just twiddling my thumbs, trying to make you wait another minute. Keep you from getting your eats wherever you're going. But no, we're trying to hurry up and get in the tank and make sure we do one of the part of the great commission, baptism. See, slipping our shoes off is just something that we do. But spiritual things ought not be that simple. You know, they ought not be just like that. You know, there ought to be some things that you tie on. You ought to set your feet in a holy place. I want you to see this. We first need to see the supernatural to be able to do the supernatural. Second of all, we need to hear from heaven and know that it was God that spoke to us. If you think that I could have come to this Bible college and have lived here, brought my family, sold my house, and moved everything, and stayed for 4 years in this place without knowing that I heard from heaven. There were many times I thought I was going to lose my house, and I will not tell that story today, but I could not pay the payment. And I said, God, you'll either sell that house or I'll lose that house. I have no control over it. And I turned it loose. Can I tell you this? I wish I'd have done that the first month I paid the payment, not when the money ran out. But if I found out, you know, God had to burn through my bank account before I turned to the supernatural. And then I said, God, I can't, so you have to. Wouldn't it be great that we just turned to God at the beginning and said, God, I can't, but you can. Hey, folks, and then, I mean, there were times I told my wife, she said, what are we going to do? There were, you know, we could have packed up and gone back to that house, and I could have made a living and paid the payments. But I remember sitting there and praying with my wife and saying, God, I don't know what you're going to try to teach me through this. If you want to sell my house, you do it. If you want me to lose my house so that you can teach me something that I can better serve you in your will, God, I'm not leaving this place. This is where you brought me. I'm in the middle of your will. God, I'll lose my house if that's what you want me to do. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, you say, not paying your bills, that's not a good idea. I agree with you. And you know what God did? God didn't want to give me a bad testimony. God just wanted my attention. And God did something that was crazy. I said, God, you either got to pay the payment or you got to sell my house. And God did both. God will do above all that we could ever ask or think if we will just call on Him. If we will just see the supernatural and trust Him. But sometimes things got to get caught on fire in our lives and burn before we really turn to Him and see Him. I want you to see this. God calls him and he turns to go in and he says, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't draw nigh to me like that. You can't draw nigh to me like that. Look at the scripture, what he says. In verse 5, he said, and he said, draw not nigh hither. That's not a contradiction. God wants men. If we draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto us. God says, draw not nigh. God stops him. And he says, put off the shoes. So he makes, you know that everything that God does when we move to him is conditional upon his word. You can't have it your way. You're not going to come to God in your sin. God's going to make you take the shoes of sin off. You can't come to God in the midst of your circumstances. God, you need to do it my way. That ain't how it works. When you come to God, God's going to say, you know what? He looks at our shoes. Think about what we wear shoes for. When I was a boy, I would kick my shoes off because I believed. And I'm just going to tell you, I could beat everybody else with shoes on with my shoes off. Now, I ain't fast, but I'm just telling you, I thought I was fast. My grandson right now, he's got a cape, you know. His name is Easton, so we call him Super Easty. He puts that cape on. And when he takes off running, it blows back like that. And he feels like he's running about 10 miles an hour faster. Do you ever remember running like that? It's almost like somehow there was a load taken off. Or for me, I always thought them shoes would weigh me down. And my feet were what God made. He didn't make shoes. He didn't give me shoes when I came out. He gave me feet. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, you know, the shoes in this passage of scripture represents a man-made opportunity, circumstance, sin, something that we brought into the relationship between us and God. And God says, I don't want anything between me and you. Think about what we use shoes for. To protect us. Why do we need to be protected from God? How many times, hey, there are people, you know, when they come to college or they live life with a plan A and a plan B. Instead of, you know, in God's will, there are no plan A's and plan B's. There is only God's will and trusting Him. Listen, I hope all the parents of young people are listening this morning, because if you're teaching your kid to have a plan B, and they said, God's called me to be a missionary, your kid don't have a plan B. Your kid is supposed to be a missionary. Hey, God's called me into the work of God. Then your kid don't have a plan B. That's your plan. That's your shoes you're trying to put on them. You know how it is? The first kid, I remember we took time putting on the shoes, because they can't put shoes on themselves. We got to put them on them. And most of the time it's hard to keep them on them because they feel like they ought to be barefoot. And the first child, we take time and put them on there. The next one, man, we're just throwing them on there. I think every child after my first child had shoes on the wrong feet most of the time, because we were just trying to get shoes on them. Amen. And I'd look at them and say, why are your shoes on the wrong feet? I don't know. You know. Sometimes they just thought it was natural. After a while, that's how it ought to be. And everybody else was weird. Hey, folks, if we're not careful, we just start thinking everybody else is wrong or God is wrong and our way's right, because that's the way we've done it. See, God says, put them shoes off of your feet. We use shoes for grip. Some of you wear a work boot. Some of you wear some type of shoe, then it's especially for your job. Protection, grip, something like that. Do you know that we don't need grip with God? If we stand where He wants us to stand, it ain't slippery. If we stand where God wants us to stand, it ain't rocky, hard ground. It's good ground. It's holy ground. What we really need instead of grip is to be grounded in God. Sometimes we miss the fact that God just wants us. We don't need to be shielded from God's will or His work or His way. We need to just be touching Him. Think about this. Most people, and I'll just say this and bring it full circle. When I have shoes on, there are things we use it for protection, and there's things that we can't feel. Do you know that what most of us have done inside this room, if you can't reach revival, it's been a long time since you heard from heaven and you really felt God in your life, then you need to get your shoes off and set your feet in Him. You have built some kind of callous layer shoes that's between you and Him, and you cannot hear from heaven because you're coming to God your way, in your own time, in your own, you want God to get in your little box and do it your way, when God says He's turned aside and I've called Him. And I really believe this. Some of you under conviction. God has spoken to your heart and you clearly have heard that He wants you to do something. But when you go to draw near Him, God does this and puts His hand out because you're coming with your sin, circumstances, and you want God to do it your way. Do you know what happened after this? God, listen, I'm just going to share with you this morning. Most of you that, again, can take this part of the message and really set it down in your soul. After this, God says, this is my purpose for you. Moses kicks off his shoes, but he can't wait to put them back on and go back to shepherding. God, your purpose for me is to deliver your people. And I know that that's been my desire, but I'm not a good talker. Hey, God, I know you wanted me to do this, but Egypt's not going to hear me. The people won't believe me. What has he got? What every one of us have? Excuses. He said, I took my shoes off and left them there, but let me read you all the reasons I had them on. Let me read you why, God, it can't be your way. Let me tell you, God, why you can't use me. Do you know at the end of the day what God said I need from you? I need you to just surrender to me. Just surrender. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, until we get back to the place where we can feel God moving in our lives, and that doesn't happen with shoes on. For all of us this morning, you say, preacher, would God use me? God wants to use you now. You know, I mean, we've had a massive increase on our buses. Do you know what we need? We need more Sunday school. We don't need less. We've got a bunch of young people that need to grow. We need more people following up on young lives and young hearts that are tender to the Word of God. We need more folks going out soul winning to tell our town. We don't have less people in Haines City than we used to have. We got more. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, we don't need less people surrendering to do the will of God. We need more. Do you know what God wanted? He said, I've heard the cry of my people. Brother Chad told us a moving illustration of how God spoke to his heart to pull over and to witness to a group of houses that he thought would not be receptive. Lord, they've got boats, they've got jet skis, they got big houses. They don't want anything to do with church. I can invite them, but they don't. Listen, folks, sometimes our problem is we just think they won't attend Landmark. Well, when did that become the measure? When did we take that shoe and try to put it on everybody else? Do you know what? If everybody in our town got saved and never stepped in the doors of our church, it would be a great day in heaven. Because they don't all rejoice when they come to Landmark. Heaven rejoices when people accept Jesus as their Savior. And a soul crosses over from being lost and on their way to hell and burning for eternity to having a home in heaven for eternity. Now, what I'd love to do is some of those folks allow us to baptize them because that's what God tells them their first command is. I'd love for some of those people to come and grow in Sunday school. But I'm just going to tell you, that is not. The church is here. This church, we've been given a command. And sometimes we got shoes between us and God. You know, I'm so glad when God took my shoes. And he said, here, I gave you a pair of shoes to be a soul winner. See, the greatest problem, I really believe, in a good soul-winning church like us, is we think that Thursday night, organized time to go out, is soul-winning. Can I reveal to you something? You are commanded to be a witness of Jesus Christ everywhere, every day, every minute of your life. And punching the clock for 1 hour a week will never pay what God has desired for us to do. Every time we're in the supermarket, we ought to be a witness of him. Every moment that we're at the gas pump, I'm still a Christian and I'm supposed to witness. It's not a switch we turn it off. It's not a pair of shoes that we put on and off. I kicked my shoes off one day and God says, listen, it's prepared feet. You know what prepared feet is? Bill and holy calluses. And going barefoot for God. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, you know, holy calluses are the ones that will keep you going back to the door, even though they slam the door in your face. Holy calluses will be the ones when somebody rejects the tract that you try to invite them to church with. You say, preacher, you're just getting personal. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, if we're going to have personal revival, some of the shoes that you've been holding on to, and some of you may have even given God, the worst thing we can do is be straddling the fence. God, I'll give you this shoe, but I'm keeping this one. That puts you in a place where you're so off balance, off kilter. It'll put you in a place where you're ready to fall. And what I don't want to see is anybody that loves the Lord and on their way to heaven and wants to serve God falling down because they're trying to do it. Not God's way. God didn't say, take off your shoe. He said, take off your shoes. And lay them aside, you're standing on holy ground. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to do just what Moses did. You need to see clearly the supernatural, that God has sent his Son from heaven. That was a supernatural birth. That he came and lived a perfect supernatural life. And then died a supernatural death because he should not have died. Or been put to death. The one who has no death, he's God. But he laid down his body that he might take on your sins and my sins. A supernatural act that could only be done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then supernaturally rose again from the dead to live forevermore. He purchased salvation for you and I. You need to see that clearly this morning. And then you need to hear the call, because God calls every man to be saved, every woman, every boy, every girl. That if you're in your sins, you're headed to the devil's hell. But you need to see clearly what Jesus did for you and then hear from heaven that God wants you to be saved. And that if you just call upon his name, that you'll be saved. How about this? And then kick your shoes off. You say, how do I kick my shoes off? I remember the day I walked down the aisle and I was willing to give everything to Jesus that day to get saved. You know, I believe that repentance is something, Brother Chad mentioned it, but I really believe that repentance in our day and age is left out. That's not a work. That means the moment that I fall on my face before God, I was willing to give everything to him. Everything that owned me, everything that was between me and God, I didn't want anything between me and him. I turned from my sin. That doesn't mean I wasn't still a sinner. Didn't mean that after I got up, I didn't still have bad thoughts or anything like that. I'm just going to tell you, I at that moment, I rejected everything else but Jesus. I turned away from everything else but Jesus. I wanted to be saved and on my way to heaven. You say, preacher, I can't do that. I still live like this. Listen, you don't have to clean up before you got to come to God. God will clean you up if you come to Him. He'll say, here, you've come to me. Now, Moses knew who God was, and the power of God was trying to work on him. Can I just say this to you this morning? God knows exactly who you are. He knows whether you're saved or lost. Do you know whether you're saved or lost? If you can't clearly this morning answer the question without a shadow of a doubt, without any question, if I died today, heaven would be my home, then I would not leave this building. Saved people don't have questions about eternity. They got answers from the Holy Ghost that lives inside of them. If you're here and you're not sure of heaven, then today you should get saved. If you're here this morning and you've been saved, but you've been putting some plan A and plan B shoes on, why don't you kick your shoes off and stay a while with God? Decide, God, I really want to hear from you again. I'm willing to give you all my pretenses and circumstances and my will and my way, and I'll just stand on holy ground and go where you want me to go and do what you'll have me to do. Surrender is not on our terms. It's on His. And if you're surrendering only on your terms, then it's not full surrender. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if God has spoken to you this morning and you know for sure that you need to be saved, then this morning, this is an old-fashioned invitation, and we invite you to come down and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning and you know you need to do that, would you let me pray for you? Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I know I need to be saved. I'm not sure of heaven. I don't know for sure that that would be my home for a Bible reason. Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved. Would anybody slip their hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. I need that. Could you hold it up high enough so I could see it if you're doing that this morning? I don't see a hand. I see that hand back there this morning. If you're like that, I pray you'll get saved this morning. If you're a Christian, you say, preacher, I want to have that feeling of God in my life again. I'm willing to put off some shoes that have gotten between me and God. Pray for me, preacher. There's some things between me and God, and I want them out of my life. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. Be honest this morning. I see those hands. I appreciate you being honest. I'm going to pray. Let's stand to our feet. Dear Lord, I come to you this morning humbly, and I beg you, God. There have been hands go up and hearts that have reached out to heaven. One that said they need to be saved. God, I pray you'd save that lady today that raised her hand. And there might be others that couldn't bring their hand above the pew where I could see it. And God, I pray that you would work in their heart and help them to step out and to be saved this morning. I pray that you'd be with those that slipped their hand up and said there's some shoes between them and God. They want to feel you like they used to ago. Lord, I pray you'd help them to put those off, that they do business with you this morning and leave those shoes and step out on holy ground in your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Bert sings this morning, would you step out and come? Would you step out and come? If you need to be saved and you raise your hand, would you meet me in the front and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved? If you're here this morning, you slipped that hand up and I prayed for you. Would you pray for yourself this morning? Would you make your way down to the altar and just on the altar before the Lord, take the shoes off and leave them here? Not your literal shoes, but the ones that we talked about spiritually that are between you and God. As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come?
Just as I am without